This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. And to my left, in his final in-person episode, for right now, maybe, is our buddy Creighton Harrington. Creighton, how are you doing?
Hello.
And over to my right is Maya Axton.
Hello, everybody.
All right, please keep listening to the episode. Don't turn it off just because Maya's on. And on Google Hangout is our buddy from the North, Joe Ruiz. Joe, how are you doing?
Good, good. The North being South Bend, not Canada.
South Bend, yeah. You're only one body of water away.
You're not from the great white menace of the North.
But he's almost.
The great blue and gold menace of the North.
Shout out to our...
Notre Dame is not a menace.
Shout out to our buddy and friend and great Twitter supporter, John Yowen. And I hope I'm saying that right. Sorry, John. John created a funny Facebook page called The Great White Menace of the North, where John, Greg, and myself, Greg Linz, who's not here this week, post smears against the Canadian people. So, because they deserve it.
Canadians suck. It's a fact of life.
That's not very nice, eh?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Hey. No, he's not been doing good lately, but Jim, in his prime, he was hilarious.
Now, as always, the Canadian bit is just a joke. Please stop writing me hate mail. We don't hate you. Really, I'm serious. I get so many emails like, what is your problem with Canada, eh? Why do you hate us? That's not right. That's not right. What have we ever said bad about you, eh?
We give you guys syrup.
Seriously. So, it's all right. This week, we're going to delve right into the topics. And let me explain before we do that, because we're not going to delve right into the topics. We're going to divert first, like we normally do. Sorry, Samantha. You are going where? Why is this your possibly last in-person interview?
To Thailand for a sex change?
Jeez.
Look who's talking. You wish you could go to Thailand for a sex change.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd make a great Thai lady boy.
I'll probably never go to Thailand.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
All right.
For the rest of time, that is what's going to be associated with Thailand in my head, and I'm never going.
If you were offended by that, please, then you apparently are not friends with Maya Axton on Facebook.
Usually we try and have the podcast on Thursdays, but the past weeks has been pretty busy on everybody's part.
Yeah.
But I was going over to DC for my internship on this upcoming, like next week's Friday. So next Friday. But the opportunity has come up to maybe go early. Still not 100% that I will. If I do, then I probably won't make the next podcast.
So
I still got some stuff I have to get done here before I can go.
Right. And so you'll be gone till when?
August.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will miss you in person, but when our schedules hook up, we're going to have you on the Google Hangout and participating and sharing with us your thoughts on the new Iron Man, the new Superman, the new Star Wars.
I can already share my thoughts on Iron Man.
The new Star Trek. We'll save it to the end. Give the people a cliffhanger.
After Man of Steel, no one's going to care about Iron Man 3.
We'll argue this at the end. We want to keep listeners. Today, our topic is the trio of scandals.
Tres Scandalia.
As the title of the show, which I've already thought of, which I was heartbroken when Creighton didn't get it because this is such a Creighton joke. It's Three Scandals and a Maybe. And then if you haven't seen the podcast cover art on Facebook, check it out. And Creighton totally didn't get it. He was like, what? I'm like, three men and a baby.
I thought it was funny.
Just because I've seen a lot of movies doesn't mean I've seen a lot of bad movies.
How dare you? Tom Selleck's mustache will kick your ass. So there is, over the last week or week and a half since we've done the show, the scandals on the Obama administration, and this is not something that we typically cover because we know you can get it on Fox News. Fox News has been wall-to-wall coverage on the breaking scandals taking place in the Obama administration.
Breaking, happening now.
I mean, Benghazi's a big scandal for Fox News. They've gotten Obama and a Clinton involved, so they've really been hitting it hard. And then you have the breaking today, actually, which I think is pretty terrifying. The stealing, I guess stealing is not the right word, but the taking of the AP's phone records for multiple reporters to try and track down who is leaking information about various specific information. And then you also have the IRS scandal.
Which is probably the biggest one. And
I totally disagree.
I think it's
the least of the three.
I think it's... What? No, it's the big one.
We'll get into that later.
But either way, did you see the press conference today with Jay Carney?
I didn't. I have not had a chance to watch that nerd
yet. That was a turkey shoot, man. He was down for the count at the end of that. It was almost sad to watch.
So let's start with Benghazi, because that's the one that has been beaten to death. It's just ridden right into the ground. But I do think there's a couple interesting points. Who wants to give the details on what happened in Benghazi over the last week and some of the hearings that have gone on?
So originally...
that's Creighton.
Yeah, so the original story was that on September 11th of last year, the U.S. Embassy in Benghazi was attacked, and the immediate response on the part of the Obama administration was to say that it was a result of it was a protest to a anti-Islamic video,
right?
YouTube video, and that was the narrative they ran with for a while, and you know, Ambassador Chris Stevens died. Some people died. It was a tragic event. I think they said only like six ambassadors have ever died, on foreign soil. So
you had Ambassador Stevens, and you had a couple people protecting him. One was a Navy SEAL, I think.
Yeah, there was
another
was
a CIA agent.
It was pretty bad. I mean, it was not a fun place to be. But the scandal...
In-depth commentary coming right at you. Courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Listen, man. Hey, there's like 10,000 Muslims outside your door beating down trying to get in to kill you.
Have you ever seen Argo?
Yeah.
Like when they were at that gate? Yeah. My God. I would have been so scared.
Not exactly a place that you want to be.
But anyway, so, you know, the scandal kind of erupted when... I mean, for a while, it was because the Republicans in Congress and Fox News and talk radio never really bought that it was a result of this video, and
because it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I mean, everybody, left, right, center, libertarian, it's such a laughable thing to say.
And a lot of
did the administration ever expel that, though? Did they ever say, like, the video was just
after hidden? Yeah, after about a week, Obama came out and said, yeah, we think it was because of terrorism. It wasn't because of the video. But
yeah, it might have been longer than a week.
It was somewhere. He said it was the next day, which the Washington Post fact checker came out and said,
no.
Yeah, you're getting like three Pinocchio awards for that.
Yeah,
one,
they sent Susan Rice on the Sunday talk shows, and they ran with that for a while. And for a while, the argument was that the Republicans are just bashing Susan Rice because she's Susan Rice. And that's why they don't accept this story.
And it was racist.
Yeah,
that's why.
I mean,
but you cannot deny that. I mean, let's give them. Let's play devil's advocate, okay? They're not going to get a fair. It's not like Daryl Issa. Daryl Issa, just head of the investigations for the House Republicans, just is looking for anything he can kind of sink his teeth into. And there has been elements of the Benghazi thing that I think they're just looking to make some sort of scandal over. You're going to impeach a president over changing talking points 11 times?
Well,
that
so,
crap does not matter. It
well,
really doesn't.
What the scandal? Okay, so just moving along. The scandal is.
Did Creighton just move me along?
Yes. So the
Holy shit.
The scandal is that when did the Obama administration know that it was a terrorist attack?
Right.
Because the immediate response was to say it was a result of this video. So if they said on record that it was a response to this video, knowing full well that it was a terrorist act, that it was a terrorist attack, then that's shenanigans. That's and the argument and what's really getting Republicans in a hissy is that if they tried to play it off as being a result of a video because they wanted to make sure that Obama did well in the election. And that's what a lot of Republicans are salivating over, is because if that turns out to be the case, then it's like scandal gold. But
right.
what another reason is, and this is the reason that they keep hammering it home, is because it's a lose-lose for Hillary Clinton. And I mean, if it turned, it's come out that in this past few weeks they found out that they have official testimony now of people who were involved, saying that, up a few weeks before this attack, Chris Stevens had requested, more security for this consulate. And they've been going with the common sense argument. This is in a hotbed. Why did and it all kind of hangs on whether or not Hillary Clinton saw the memo asking for more security. And it's a lose-lose for her, because if she didn't see the memo, then she's a bad leader of the State Department. She's not vetting, she's not looking over important issues. I mean, this is something that the Secretary of State should be looking at, the security of an embassy in a very, volatile area. But if it does turn out that she saw the memo and she didn't do anything, then she's an even worse leader. And more than that, she's a liar, because she has said that she didn't see the memo.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned, and a lot of people are saying, and a lot of the testimony that's come out in the past few weeks, the guys are saying that the only way that, whatever happened to them, I'm not 100% on the specifics of what they specifically were requesting, but the only way that this or that could have happened the way it happened, either way. So whatever the people who have been testifying say is true, the only way this could have happened is if the Secretary of State signed off on it. So it's becoming more apparent that Hillary Clinton, not only is she a bad leader, quote-unquote, but she lied about it. And that's a big deal, too. So it's a lose-lose for her. And that's why they're hammering it home, because everybody knows she's going to run in 2016. And they're basically just hammering home that she's not a good leader right out the gates. It's going to be an even bigger issue if the Obama administration proper, if Obama knew about it as well, then that's an even bigger scandal.
Here's a couple interesting things. Now, I said that the changing the talking points 11 times is not a big deal, and it's not. Just, if that makes you mad, I'm sorry, but that's the type of hyperbolic stuff that people want to, they changed talking points 11 times. Like, you are speaking as the government on these Sunday shows, and you're giving the message for the official government. And so you want to get it right, so you vet it and clear it through the CIA and all that good stuff.
Well, they're implying that yes, changing talking points in a vacuum isn't necessarily a big deal. The thing is did they change it because they wanted to change the story from what
sure.
it was to something that it wasn't, because it would have looked better for Obama running for office.
And Joe, because you're not here in person, jump in and just start talking whenever one of us starts to wind down. So
I gotcha.
Well, all administrations have done that. All departments do that. There's been how many different scandals through all of time? Different organizations. I mean, the same thing, we'll end up talking about Holder some more here in a bit. But everything, the government's so huge, you're going to have people hiding stuff, pushing stuff around. And even at the very top, yeah, stuff's going to get a little crazy. It's going to change up. They're going to use it to play the American populace. And it's like everybody says, the media is actually kind of doing something all right now, where they're pointing out the inaccuracies and the bull coming from the top, but
which is going to happen more so after what happened this past
with the
few days.
With the AP story,
maybe.
But again, it all hangs on whether or not they did it because for political reasons, because he was running for office.
But you can't prove
you
that
can't
intent.
You can't prove that intent. But what you can do is prove it in the eyes of the American people, and that is what is a big deal.
Now, I'll tell you,
if the Republicans win the messaging game, then they may not have legitimate proof, but for all intents and purposes, it's de facto true in the eyes of the American voter, and that's what they're
trying
to get.
There were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Bush said so, right? You don't think that wasn't the same situation, the exact same situation we're going through right now, is that there were weapons of mass destruction. We knew it 100% for sure, and there was nothing shady going there. that lasted, what, a year? And he won another term after that. So this is nothing.
I think there...
Obama, this is his second term. Who cares?
I think there's another
important point. Cares,
but
it matters for 2014.
That was lost 16. In the...
No, I'm talking about midterms.
Oh, okay. There's another point that was lost. I'm just going to let you guys run out of steam and then I'll start talking. When CIA, former CIA director Leon Panetta was being cross-examined in front of Congress during all these hearings, and he made the he was asked by a female member of Congress, I forget who it was, so how involved was President Obama in that night? He knew of the situation, yes. Was he awake? Was he giving advice? Was he consulting? No. He went to bed at 10 o'clock, essentially, and told the CIA director, you handle it, and went to bed. And I think you'll see some of this detachment in the other issues that are the scandals, quote-unquote, that are being raised, this detachment. Now, I think that that detachment is not detachment. When you tell your CIA director to handle this situation, you're looking for plausible deniability. So the head of your CIA is not telling you that there is a situation, and maybe it was because one of the most valued members of our Foreign Service was Christopher Stevens, who was in that country, who was handling the transportation of arms to Syria, to the Syrian rebels, which is not something that we've admitted to doing. And this is not something that I've read anywhere. This is just sort of a guess on my part.
Yeah. It's important to note that that is also one of the angles that a lot of, you know, that some talking heads are taking. But it's also important to note that there's no evidence for that.
There's no evidence. But, I mean, look at, let's be honest.
That would send it to Watergate level if that ended up being what happened.
They're supplying the Syrian rebels with arms and missiles, and Christopher Stevens was heavily involved in making sure that this was handled through, you know, moving through Turkey, and everything was handled in that particular region.
Yeah, because the big question that I haven't seen answered is, why did they attack the consulate in the first place?
So Obama says, I don't want to know anything about it, and goes to bed at 10 o'clock and shuts off his cell phone, which is not being hacked by the Russians, not at all. I think that's something that is an interesting question. You can say Obama's detached, that's why he didn't care, that's why he didn't want to know what happened, that's why he wasn't briefed until the next morning, he wasn't paying attention, and there's so many of these situations where it's like the old Hillary Clinton, who's answering the phone at 3 a.m., well, apparently neither of them can handle picking up the phone at 3 a.m. and dealing with the situation where
it's the same
an ambassador is being killed.
It's like saying Obama was actually giving the orders to the SEAL team that took out Osama. That's how people spun that. They don't have any actual real play in anything. Like, this isn't the movies.
they give the go-ahead, though.
I would disagree with
that. They give
that.
The go-ahead.
I mean, legally, the president has to order something like that or be, you know, informed and give his go-ahead order.
I mean, he was obviously consulting with, like, the Joint Chiefs of Staff on that, and they probably showed him different types of, like, raids they could do and different angles they could have taken and stuff, and he just signed off on the one he thought
would
work. I
mean, weren't they saying that they could have sent a SEAL team in? Aren't they? Didn't they? I saw something pop up saying that they could have had a team move in and help save those people in the embassy.
I thought I had read that there was no help in any way that could have been given. There was no time to get to them in the time that the upper echelons were notified that there was trouble happening. It was basically he was killed, you know,
yeah, but
moments after that.
Something that they talked about in the hearings was, you know, any time that they would ask, I mean, they said if this was happening and they were going to send help, and they said that they could have maybe gotten air defense or something. They could have gotten, I don't know what good that would have done, but I think that there was the implication that they could have gotten jets there at least in time.
So they could have at least gotten people there in time to provide first aid, right?
Something like that. And the hearings, they asked the guy, one of the guys who was testifying, they said, you know, they asked him a line of questioning, would we have to request for this to be done through Egyptian, you know, officials sources? Would we have to ask to send our jets into their airspace? And they all just said unequivocally, yes, we would have to ask for permission. And he said, was the permission even asked for at all? And they said, no, no one even asked for permission at all. So it just adds kind of a layer of, I don't know necessarily if it's shadiness, but it might just be administrative, you know, fault or administrative inefficiency that this is happening. And one of the responses wasn't, let's go help our guys out. It's kind of just a lack of lack of leadership.
I really, what it comes down to with Benghazi, and we'll kind of wrap up on Benghazi here. I mean, my sense is that it was incompetence. It was a failure of communication between, you know, a group of people who should be able to communicate with each other fairly easily. It's not like they were trying to send messages through, you know,
smoke signals.
And John, I mean, this is a bunch of top level government officials who are all of all the same political party trying to work together to achieve the same ends.
This is a great point that we can use to argue against having embassies. Look how much crap has come because of embassies. Look at all the WikiLeaks, all the cables that we get from the embassies going back and forth and how shady they are. Half of our psyops and the CIA crap goes through embassies.
Well, there is a case to be made. There was, right before we're recording this on Tuesday, May 14th, last night in Russia, a deputy something or other in the Russian embassy, the American embassy in Russia, he was busted as an American spy in Russia, and they put this really terrible blonde wig on him. He looks completely ridiculous. And he was found with a bunch of Russian cash, whatever they use.
Rubles.
Rubles, yeah. And he was busted as a spy. He worked at the embassy in Russia. So you still have to have diplomatic posts around the world, but in places like...
Even the Founding Father said we weren't supposed to contract with other nations. So, I mean, if you want to argue from like a libertarian stance, we shouldn't be in contracts and embassies with these countries. We shouldn't. Period. I mean, they do nothing but open up corruption.
Then what was Ben Franklin and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson doing in France in the revolutionary period?
They were screwing
they were just
crap up.
Hanging out, not doing anything official?
No, I mean, they were working with people.
Boom!
No, but
boom!
I'm not saying the Founding Fathers.
let's just say...
I'm saying even the Founding Fathers spoke towards that. Not all of them,
right.
But, you know, they're all different. But
I was under
the
impression that they said we shouldn't ally with other countries. But having somewhere for citizens.
Not even treaties. We weren't supposed to make treaties with other countries.
But they made treaties. That generation.
It's in the Constitution.
We some of them spoke towards it. I'm not saying they all put that official in the stone. God bless it.
Well, some of them also spoke towards, you know,
hanging
having,
all the black have, people.
Some,
but,
some
you know,
people didn't even want the articles.
But all from right, like the libertarian standpoint, should we have embassies, especially with the government we have like we do now, with the CIA and how much we've, over the last, 100 years, dealt with other countries and what our embassies have done? Should we continue having
them? I think there's a difference between diplomacy and militaristic army bases. I mean, I'm totally with you on army bases, but I don't see any issue with having diplomatic posts where... We have representatives of our government in other places. You know, I'm okay with having an embassy in South Korea, but not troops. I mean, so if we can just get let's focus on bringing the troops home, and then we'll get to the embassies.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, if you're,
but we start the wars through the embassies because we have a central point. We play.
We start the wars in Washington.
We start the wars because we elect morons.
But
we are
Washington's
morons.
Forward posts are the embassies. Just like I said, have you guys read all many of the WikiLeaks cables and the crap that they send back and forth and what those people get into?
My sense is that
that's all a top down thing, though. No,
I'm saying our embassies are a forward post.
Yeah,
for Washington.
But you seem to be implying that this happens because the embassies exist. I'm saying that it happens because Washington wants to do it, and they use the embassies to that end. It's just a tool.
But
shouldn't we
either cut out or cut way down on how the embassies work? Wouldn't that, I mean, for overseas relations and blowback and everything else, wouldn't it be a good idea to maybe cut, you know, cut off some of the weapons and the power of the federal government when it comes to overseas things, with the arming of Syrian rebels, the arming of all these different people over there, and the shady stuff we don't know about?
All right, Maya has given the audience a very thoughtful thing to think about.
I'm done.
Is tangential, so let's focus on the scandals at hand.
Do you know what amazes me?
What?
Is that Obama has attempted to be like the most image-conscious president. I remember reading in Bobby Jindal's book, don't hold that against me for reading his crisis and leadership book, but he talked about the BP oil spills and how when Obama finally got out to meet with him, he went up to him and the first thing he says was not, how is everybody doing? He said, listen, man, you really got to quit giving me such a hard time. I'm getting this from Congress. I really need you guys to stand by me. And he was more concerned about his public image at that point than the crisis at hand. And in these situations, it just seems like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't shadiness. Maybe someone just dropped the ball here or there, or you know, several times over or whatever. But it always appears as shadiness. And that's right. All that the American public is going to see is that things look suspicious. And that's all that the Republicans or anybody else is really going to need to make the Democrats obsolete in 2016, and I would hope. But, I mean, it matters.
It isn't that our and this audience's bias that things are more of a conspiracy or they're more, you know, and less. This person is just incompetent to handle the scope of the job because there probably is not a human being alive at this point who can handle the full scope of managing every aspect of the federal government at how big that it has become.
Yeah, and I mean, but to Joe's point, he's saying that, you know, President Obama is more worried about, you know,
how the optics of the situation.
He's more worried about what he looks like rather than, you know, legitimate things. And, you know, for what it's worth, who cares? I mean,
no, but it keeps blowing up in his face. Maybe absolutely. Were more concerned about being a leader.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Is he, I mean, regardless of my differences with him on politics, he is a terrible leader. He is just awful at being a leader. You can be a good leader, and I can disagree with you on issues, but you can still be a good leader. He's just bad at being a leader.
And I think the three of us, not necessarily Maya, if he were the Ronald Reagan of the Democrats, incredibly eloquent, and we weren't having discussions like we were having a couple episodes ago after Boston saying, where is this guy? He's just nowhere. He was nowhere after several of these incidents. He's just flat as a leader. I think that if he were a capable manager, someone like Bill Clinton, I think Bill Clinton was very capable at managing the bureaucracy of the federal government. He was great at being consistent on message. I mean, you watch some of those 1992 clips, and he's talking about ending welfare and reducing entitlement.
Welfare as we know it.
As we know it, yeah. But, you know, he was someone who could... I guess Bill Clinton was a leader.
No, he was. He was a leader.
Well, I would use that term very loosely.
I think he would
screwed up.
Right. We already gave you the caveat.
Let's be clear. Leader doesn't mean you agree with people on politics or issues.
Right.
I mean, but the ability to lead people is a trait that, you know, you would hope that the commander in chief, the head of the executive branch would have. I mean, he really is supposed to be a leader.
Let's start with Maya. And let's get in just a couple, you know, minute from each of us. What would you qualify as a leader in this particular post? As President of the United States, what are the qualities of a leader?
You know, that's really hard because it's a good leader is something that's kind of it's spontaneous necessarily is in the position. You're not usually put up on a pedestal as a good leader. You don't run for office to be a good leader. I don't see that as... I see that as being kind of against the idea of what a good leader is. A good leader is a natural thing, someone that's just does it on their own. It's just part of them. I don't – like you, for instance, Chris, you kind of just lead – you have a whole bunch of really messed up stray cats and dogs following you everywhere. But you're a natural leader, and you do things because you're already going to do it. So I don't – I honestly don't think you can apply the term or the terms good leader – or good leadership, or having the qualities of a good leader, to a politician. Now, I guess for the context of the conversation, a good leader would be someone that takes all the facts and leaves out any subjective reasonings or ideals out of something and goes forward with decisions based on objective facts only. And so if that's the case, there hasn't been a good leader as president ever.
Well, thank you for the compliment. And I would say that a good leader is someone like, at least the romanticized vision, you know, many, many years after, somebody like Kennedy or Reagan are visions of leadership. Now, if we were alive and they were our president today, I doubt we'd feel that way. But I'd say you'd look at the qualities of Reagan, who cast a vision for the United States. He made people feel good about being American again. I think people feel very bad about our country right now. I think the polling results for Congress and for Obama and for right, wrong track in America is very bad. Reagan had a way of emphasizing the positive. I think a good leader is somebody who has a clear-cut vision of what something should be, says this is where we're going, and here's how we're going to get there, and we're going to do it in a positive way. And I think in times of crisis, I think Kennedy, both Kennedys, but especially John, you know, if you listen to the tapes of Kennedy haggling over civil rights disputes, for instance, like, you know, there was a 30 for 30 about the football players and integrating colleges in the South and him talking to the governor in Mississippi and dealing with that situation, finally, you know, trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, give them enough rope to essentially say, like, okay, here's the options, here's what we're going to do, this is what's right, this is how we're going to do it. Play ball with me here first, so there's a bit of diplomacy, but then at the end of the day, says, this is what's right, this is what we're going to do, and I don't care if I lose the South as a result, this is what's right. You know, and I think the 60s, in a lot of ways, if you look at the Kennedys and MLK, have a lot of great examples of leadership in the face of adversity. And I'd say George W. Bush, you know, I hear you, we'll all hear you, and soon they'll hear all of us. I think that was a great moment of leadership. I mean, it still gives me goosebumps when I hear it. And I couldn't stand his policies or his presidency, but at that moment, that just... It's not like he could fake it.
No,
he just rose to the occasion.
Leadership is in any level. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about, you know, a small group that you're involved with, or the president of the United States. A leader is somebody who does have a core belief, a core principles, core group of, amount of principles, and is able to bring people along with him to achieve, you know, various ends. I mean, somebody who is able to, you know, who has beliefs in what they think is right, but isn't beyond listening to other people give him advice, you know, is able to stand strong, show dedication, show courage, empathize. I mean, it's just the qualities of a leader is somebody that people just want to be around and want to emulate. I'd say the number one thing that a good leader does is make people want to emulate him. Right. And I mean, if people,
I mean, look, Obama wanted to emulate George Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But I'm
but I mean, people like leadership. People do like somebody who is able to cast a clear vision for what they desire and what they think is right, and if they agree with it, they respect, they have integrity, and they have, you know, the ability to get it done. And, you know, Ronald Reagan was great because he was good at speaking. He was good at saying, this is what America is. These are the things that we believe in, and this is what I'm going to do to bring it back. And I don't know. It's one of them things that it is kind of like a natural thing, but it's just somebody who is driven, takes initiative. And I think the ultimate character trait of it is that they actually have to believe in something. I honestly don't think Obama believes in anything.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking, what is Obama's vision for America? I know we think we know what it is. I think Rush Limbaugh will tell us what his vision for America is, and there's been endless conservatives telling us about his vision of, but I don't think he really,
Yeah, it's important. To say what is the vision for America that you want to get done. I mean, it's one thing to say that Obama is a closet socialist or something, and that he believes in that. But that's philosophy. What I'm trying to talk about is like, what is the vision that you want to achieve? The vision that
we do know what vision he wants for this country.
Maybe doing it as a collective, doing it together. It makes us all successful because we're doing it together and we're solving big problems as a collective unit.
He wants
unit.
The world to love him.
I think that's...
He's a narcissist.
That's what I'm saying. Again. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he has like a clear defined vision beyond being remembered.
Right.
I think that a lot of what he has done just strikes me as somebody who wants to be remembered as a great president.
Nixon. He's another Nixon.
In and of itself, yeah. He just wants to be a great president.
We're all agreeing that vision is such like an important element to what makes a leader. And you don't even have to agree with said leader to the 100% extent. You can lead people in all sorts of different directions, but lead them by light. Don't lead them by dark. And that's the problem that we're talking about with Benghazi and the scandals going on today. Is there's this feeling that things are not honest, that the American public is being misrepresented or being abused. That's with Congress's approval rating. People don't feel like our leadership is taking ownership when a mistake is made, and they don't feel like our leadership is being honest. And I think that's really what makes a good leader. Okay, move in the direction that you want to move. But do it honestly. When there's a bump in the road, when you make a mistake, be open, be honest, give the American people your rationale for the decisions that were made. And all we get is a lot of political tiptoeing and dancing around some very important issues. And I think that drives an even more harsh narrative towards the Democratic Party should they choose to run a Hillary Clinton in 2016. Look at the conservative news this week has gone on and on about this soundbite where someone was interviewing her about this. And she said, well, what difference does it make at this point? I think that speaks a pretty big volume about how she feels about an honest conversation with the American public and transparency in government. And I don't think that necessarily just applies to the Democrats at this point. It will in 2016, and the media will make it out to be that way, but it applies to government in general. And if the American people are going to have good government moving forward at any point, they have to be able to be honest.
Let me ask you this, because that's such a great point, and I alluded to it earlier. When Susan Rice goes out and gives the official story for the United States government, does anybody believe it? When Eric Holder comes out today and gives his official statement on spying on the AP, does anybody believe it? You know, when Jay Carney comes out and talks about Benghazi and the IRS and the AP scandal, does anybody believe it? And it doesn't matter if it's a Republican. I felt the same way about Scott McClellan as I do Jay Carney.
And the one
when
thing
are you going to believe it? So let me start with Joe. I mean, trust may at some point eventually return, but maybe not for us libertarians because we're never going to really trust the power structure. But how do we start to get back on a path, and how can libertarians lead us on a path of restoring faith in our collective self as Americans?
Well, I just think being an open book is so important. If you look at like a Justin Amash, okay, maybe I would not agree with every decision he would make as a leader, but what you notice is that he puts out his rationale, he puts out his reasoning for every decision that he makes, then I at least want to know that much from a person in his position.
Yeah, and we're not going to get on the Rand Paul issue. So you two to my left and to my right.
I won't even mention the former's name.
We're not getting on to the Rand discussion.
No,
we're
going to
leave. We've had that one. But I think, you know, I will make this point and then I will give it to Creighton. I think that's why libertarians sometimes have a hard time trusting Rand over Ron, where Ron is just an open book and Rand is playing this footsie game with the Republicans where it's like, all right, is he saying he doesn't want to end the drug war because he doesn't want to end the drug war because he's lying to the Republicans to get their nomination? Like, and it's sort you sort of go, all right, I don't know what to believe, so I guess I really can't trust you, you know? And I think that's the breakdown. And I think total transparency, I think you're totally right. I think that's why Justin Amash, and I think that's why people like Ted Cruz, and that's why people like Ted Kennedy for the Democrats. Doesn't matter. I'm proud of my beliefs. These are my beliefs. These are my votes. Here's how I'm going to vote. If you don't like it, if the other side doesn't like it, kiss my behind. Creighton.
I mean, I'm good on this topic.
All right.
Going to IRS.
Let's go on to the IRS.
Wait.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
one thing I'd like to point out about the whole idea behind that question, that line of thought is it's not just getting trust back, because there's only a very limited amount of people in this country that are distrustful of the government. The vast majority of them don't even care anymore. And so it's not
even a matter of trusting what Jay Carney
says.
Because
there's only a couple million people watching Fox News and CNN.
It's not even a matter of people trusting what their government and what Jay Carney says or Eric Holder. People just don't know who Jay Carney is.
They don't know why they should care. They've given up either A, hope, or B, they have zero reasons to care because they –
And that is a totally rational reaction to a totally irrational system. Let's move on to the IRS scandal. This is in Creighton's opinion, I think the biggest of the three. In my opinion, it's like, I don't think it compares to spying on the press. But
just as kind of a precursor, Rush Limbaugh said today that the IRS scandal was just something to provide a cover-up in the media or something to distract people from Benghazi, which is the real issue.
Benghazi, I think, is the least of maybe it's the least. It's competing with the IRS thing.
I think the Republicans generally want Benghazi to be the big one because it makes Hillary Clinton look bad.
Right. An Obama and a Clinton.
Yeah, I honestly don't think – I don't think that it is – Any reason other than, I mean, yeah, the Chris Stevens died, but I think that I'm just saying the reason I think that they're bashing it so hard is because the Hillary Clinton looks terrible,
right?
And that's,
literally and figuratively. Yeah. So we'll take a show vote at the end to what is our favorite scandal of the week, and we'll rank them individually. But so. The IRS, which I've started a nonprofit, and I'm the chairman of the board of a nonprofit educational organization where we're building out a business plan currently to we were starting a charter school. Now we're starting an educational organization to talk about school choice. So I've gone through the process of starting a nonprofit. You get your articles of incorporation. You put your bylaws together. You put your diversity statement together. You cannot get a 501c3 without your diversity statement.
Somebody sounds like they've done this before.
I have.
Don't you guys have in the base of that organization, the Anarchist Cookbook?
It's not the Anarchist Cookbook. It is, but we did have freedom and liberty in our description and in our mission. It's not a libertarian organization. It's not a patriot organization or anything like that. But you go through the process. You put your articles of incorporation, your bylaws, your diversity statements. You have to have a few other things. Yeah, you can file it yourself, but that's going to take maybe a year or more to get awarded your 501c3 status, which means you're tax exempt and you're an official charity in the eyes of the IRS. But if you have a lawyer do it for you, it can be faster. I think ours took about 9 months, and we went back and forth with the IRS to change a few things to I think 3 or 4 times to get approved with a nonprofit status. And it was things like, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? It wasn't the IRS giving us a hard time. It was the IRS basically saying, if you're going to be a charity and you're going to be soliciting money, we want to make sure you're not a scam. And if you have this, if this is your intention, then okay. But if you don't have this, if this is not your intention, then you're a scammer. And you're just trying to rip us off from taxes and the American people off and their hard dollars. So that was that's sort of the process in a nutshell. So some of these Tea Party groups, part of the problem with the Tea Party is that they never filed with the FEC, a lot of them. They never filed with the IRS. You know, if you're going to be spending money and doing political activities legally, you're supposed to register with the government. That's just the bottom line. Now, how's that free speech taste, everybody, huh? And, so some of these groups would register for tax-exempt status, and I could see where the government would say, you know, hey, you're a political organization. Why would you want to file as a 501c3? If you're a 501c3, you can't support candidates. You can't support particular ideologies necessarily. You have to be very careful.
No, you can support issues and right. ideologies, you can't support parties or candidates.
There's 501c4s, which are political organizations as well. There's 527s, which are essentially political parties, political action groups. So now what, Creighton, was different about that process when these groups would apply that anything that had Patriot or Tea Party in it, when they would apply to
or,
the IRS.
Or We the People or Founding Fathers.
Which We the
or
People.
912.
We the People yeah. is actually, We the People is actually a good organization. I don't, they're trying to educate people about the Constitution. I've got one of their books. We the People does a great job of educating people about the Constitution. God forbid. John Stewart had the best. If you,
there's
the
highly them, paid oh my gosh. History professors that do that. So we yes. don't really need We the People. I mean, come on right. now. You're, college professors.
So, Creighton, what is so egregious about this? They're just trying to protect the American people from rip-off scam artists, right?
Because they only did it to conservative groups. And they only, and it's not that they just did what you described. They went way beyond the pale. They went to the point where, like, give us a list of your donors, give us a list of your board members' families and who they interact with, take transcripts of all your Facebook page posts and send them to us, who follows your Facebook page. Right. I mean, it was just beyond, you know, necessary information. And they only did it to Tea Party or to conservative groups, and they have admitted to targeting Tea Party groups at least as early as 2011.
Now, to my recollection, there were no real rules or written.
Some of it
is at their own discretion of what they want to do. Well, so they can make it a proctology exam.
Some of it was something with about the donors or something or the fan. Something about the, I think had to do with donors. It was something that it was actually against the rules for the IRS to even ask. Okay. I'm not 100% on what that was, but they did actually break an actual rule.
Now, could this get the president impeached?
No, probably not.
He doesn't know about this. He doesn't even want to know about the ambassador being murdered in another country.
And, like, this isn't a massive scandal. It's the freaking IRS, and this is the best they can attack them on?
No, this is a big scandal. I think this is the bigger scandal because I think that, for the most part, this has really driven home to people who were at least skeptical of government being... they were skeptical of leaning back towards government being bad.
Playing favorites.
Yeah, they were skeptical.
But they've always used the tax code. The tax code has always been used.
There is a large group of people that are, you know, they're not us. They're normal. They don't care about politics to a huge extent, people. And even some people on the left, where the government always got the benefit of the doubt. And John Stewart said it well. This is, I think, something that really shattered their world because it honestly says the government doesn't get the benefit of the doubt here. It is very clear that they are targeting that it was targeting a political enemy to those who were in power.
Yep.
It was a targeting of whoever was in power. And you say it like that, and the only thing that comes to mind is like totalitarian governments.
Now, there's one thing to think about, though. Is all these groups by the government for years now have been labeled as homegrown terrorists. They've been labeled by multiple, and just listen to this out, multiple organizations, multiple parts of the government have seen these people and are labeled them as extremists, crazy people, this and that. And the IRS has been used for instances like this before to crack down on whatever crime of the day the government wants to go after. So maybe they're not necessarily going after the political opponents of the president. Maybe they're going after people that the government as a whole has been attacking for years now. So it's not like Obama shouldn't be impeached. This isn't his doing. This is the government attacking liberty people, period.
No, yeah.
And it's been happening for years now. IRS is just really getting involved.
But the kicker, I think, is that for the most part, people, we may not agree with the rule of, you know, maybe Homeland Security saying that if you use gold or if you invest in gold, you could be a terrorist. I mean, we may not agree with that, but for people who are kind of average Joe people, it was like that was one of the rules they had. And the IRS had the rules, but they weren't enforcing them equally. They were enforcing them. They were going beyond. They were even breaking some rules in order to get conservative groups, but they were not doing the same to different types of groups.
It's a government agency being predatory.
Yes, it was. I think it's the biggest scandal because it is a 100% clear example of government abuse. Something that we always assume the worst, and I think we do for the best because the worst is used. I don't really trust. I don't want to lean back. I don't ever give the government the benefit of the doubt, but a lot of people do.
It's a big butt.
No, but a lot of people do.
But this is the IRS. The tax code, the Internal Revenue Service. There's nothing sane or safe about that entire body of government.
To us, taxes are at root unjustifiable. But to most people, they're okay with taxes, and they don't see them like we do.
They're okay with taxes. They're not okay when somebody files their own taxes.
This
or goes
got through that.
This in our block? No, this wasn't the only thing that's gotten through.
No,
this.
It has. No, but it has. I'm saying, in as far as perception, it has. It has broken through all that, all the stuff you're going
to
name off.
To a degree,
didn't have the effect but that this is having already.
I don't
and
think,
it's only been one day.
I don't think the politicos need to push this as a right versus left thing because that's exactly what they're going to do, and that's not a way
that's
to have
true.
The American populace the, attack
a taxes. A lot of left leaning journalists, Rachel Maddow. I mean, they have completely come out and said that this is ridiculous. This is way beyond what I'm saying is that this broke through partisanship and pointed out to both sides that government can do wrong. And it's something that even those
still,
on the left have shown.
I'm not saying it's a wholesale left versus right. I'm saying they're showing. The whole rhetoric's going to turn into this was a batch of government people going after another group
of
government people.
Let me take this meta and blow your minds. What if it is about the left and the right and liberty versus the state? Joe, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just think it's funny that we're sitting here discussing this huge scandal on We Are Libertarians, and while Patriots and Tea Party and 9/12 and all these different conservative groups were mentioned, libertarians wasn't one of the buzzwords, and I'm just thinking to myself, even conspiratorial IRS bureaucrats are ignoring the libertarians.
It's because we never have any money.
Or maybe
we're broke.
Or maybe lazy libertarians are not starting enough groups.
Yeah, we did our paperwork correctly.
Because
we left that liberty stuff out of the description because we know better.
It's because Tea Party 501c3s are one of the reasons that in 2010 they got destroyed, or the Democrats got destroyed.
I think this is a scary sign for Obamacare. They just hired all these new IRS agents. The IRS is the enforcement agency for Obamacare and making sure that you have all your health care paperwork correct. And I think this is a scary proposition for making sure that you do what the government wants, or else they're going to start poking their business. The IRS controls your health records.
I honestly, and this is a good thought philosophy for a lot of libertarians to have if they really want to get the message across, is I hope with all these new employees and everything else, they fully enforce the entire tax code and they enforce Obamacare to the umpteenth letter of the law. Just make sure every T and I is crossed and dotted and everything. By the way, I don't have health insurance.
Come and take it. All right, so let's move on to our final scandal, the final scandal of the week. And if I were really had time this week, I'd edit in some game show music maybe.
The final scandal.
The final scandal of the week is the government is spying on the Associated Press. And basically, here's the breakdown. This is from a TheHill.com article. Holder appointed two U.S. attorneys last year to investigate a series of national security leaks that provoked bipartisan criticism from Congress, with members in both parties saying they are the worst series of leaks in memory. Several Senate Republicans pressed for the appointment of an outside special counsel to conduct the investigation, criticizing Holder's decision to appoint the U.S. attorneys. The Republicans accused the administration of using the leaks to highlight President Obama's national security credentials ahead of his reelection effort. The leaks investigation is believed to cover several unauthorized disclosures of information, including a New York Times report that the U.S. had launched a cyber attack against Iran, reports of an administration kill list of terrorist targets, expanded drone operations, and the disclosure of a Yemeni double agent who infiltrated al-Qaeda. Obama said at the time, it was outrageous to say the leaks were done for a political purpose. Now, the AP said it had been informed of the seizure on Friday. AP President and CEO Gary Pruitt called the actions a serious interference with the AP's constitutional rights to gather and report the news. And so they went through and, in accordance with department policy, had conducted more than 550 interviews and reviewed tens of thousands of documents before it subpoenaed the phone records of the AP employees. And so they've gone through and pulled phone records from a two-month period from April to May 2012 and did not seek the content of any calls. Anyone who believes that is an absolute moron. That was not part of the story. That was a side note. The records have not and will not be provided for use in any other investigations. So they've gone through and they have pulled. They did a ton of interviews, and basically what it boils down to is someone leaked sensitive national security information to the AP, and they have pulled the phone records and are searching through those phone records to find out who the leak is. Now, this is vastly different from the Valerie Plame affair, when Valerie Plame, the CIA agent, quote-unquote, was... her name was leaked by Scooter Libby, the chief of staff of Dick Cheney, to a few New York Times reporters and I think someone from Time. And those reporters were in jail for a long time for contempt of court because they refused to give up their source, to give up the source of who leaked the information to them.
Isn't that, though, after the Pentagon Papers, isn't it Supreme Court said that the news media does not have to give that kind of stuff because reporting it is not illegal. It's the initial leaking was illegal, but reporting it is not.
Now, that's correct. So what they have done is they know that everybody uses cell phones and everybody uses emails, and so they now are collecting the information from phone calls, because if you recall to the Boston bombing just a couple weeks ago, they had pulled recorded phone calls by they, I mean the FBI and the NSA and the CIA, not necessarily the CIA, but they can do it too. The FBI had pulled recorded phone calls over a course of time between the Boston bomber that died, Sarnev, and Tamerlan, and his wife, Catherine. Now, I don't know why nobody talked about this, but the question was, why in the heck is the FBI recording every cell phone conversation of an American citizen, and why do they have that information? And they clearly can do it with emails.
Well,
and
remember, they came out and admitted that they're doing this, and they've been doing it. Is that new fusion center they're building in Utah, which is supposed to have the largest amount of computer storage space ever conceived up to this point, and that's all it's going to do. It's going to be a giant storage center for phone conversations and everything, and they flat out came out and said that's what it's for. They're going to record all your text, all internet traffic history, all phone calls made on a digital service, every single thing that happens online in between two computers or two phones is going to be recorded. They admitted that years ago.
Yep. And so if you watch Person of Interest on CBS, and I hate to play a Creightonism here and compare,
I don't watch that show.
Compare real life to a TV or movie, that is based on a real machine. That machine that they have built in this...
And the Death Star wasn't?
Well, how
it
dare
is.
You, sir?
So, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
That's no machine. That's a space
station. Person of Interest is a great show with Jim Caviezel and some little dweeby dude. And this little dweeby dude built this machine for the United States government. He built it, then gave it to the government, and it basically connects all of the phone traffic and the emails and the public camera systems and all online networks, and it tracks people, and it basically spits out information that says this person is a credible threat. Okay, now the premise of the show is that it spits out non-credible threats, or it spits out regular people who are just going to get murdered by a regular dude, not a terrorist, and so they go and save that person. Good show. But that system is real. That exists, and the premise produced by J.J. Abrams, is it exists in real life. And we are seeing that in the Boston bombing. You get that leaked out there. In this case, they're going back and subpoenaing and pulling phone calls and phone records. And they say they're not listening to the content of the calls, but I find that to be 100% horse crap.
No, they've already talked about computer programs that scan traffic and everything else, and they pick up on key words and key phrases. So that's also an absolute lie, because they've admitted to doing that already.
Right. And so the message here from your friendly state is that if you disagree with the state or you do anything to undermine the state, then they have the right, no matter who you are, to go in and make sure that you agree with the state or shut down your voice if you don't.
How long ago was it when they produced that list of words you shouldn't use online? Like, you know, bomb, nuclear, and then
Maya.
And gun, shooting, killing. And then if you say president on top of any of those words, terrorist attack, how to make a bomb, how to make a gun, how to attack the Pentagon. Things like that. They put out this giant list of do not say this stuff.
So that is why I think that this is the scariest of the three stories, but they all sort of fit together. The message is, you will agree with us, or else.
Well, I know, and if you try to whistleblow or you know, show that the government's doing wrong or has done wrong, you will be locked up in a hole for thousands of days and not given a fair trial and mistreated. Oh, wait, we're talking about Bradley Manning now.
Well,
sorry.
This is a good point. Who is ever going to leak to the AP? And the AP is the thing that sets the news for everybody else. The AP is where everybody gets their news.
Because everybody who works for the AP works for all the other news.
Right, and because they're the ones who provide the content.
It's the umbrella of all the news corporations.
Exactly. And
so it's the umbrella corporation.
So why would you, as a whistleblower, ever want to take a chance of leaking information that is saying, the president is lying about our drones program, and it's actually, this is what's happening, and he's telling lies in public. Well, guess what? No one's going to do that now, because there's no guarantee that you're going to be safe if you do that. Because if you ever have any kind of contact with them electronically, then, everybody has to have contact electronically.
And it's not just the AP, and everyone's going to think, well, AP, the most credible news organization out there, if it's not safe to go to the AP, then I can't go anywhere and be safe, because even smaller people, how are they going to protect me? They don't have the security protocols and stuff as the AP.
Well, the thing is, though, what this has done is basically it probably has kickstarted a move away from journalists just copping out for the president all the time.
Yep.
And that's,
this is one thing, that, do not kick the hornet's nest.
That's a huge deal in the future, and I think that's why having all three of these things be in the news at the same time is not a good thing for the president's administration, because they're less likely to cover his behind for him.
Now, you know what? I don't think it's really going to put fear and embolden the media to attack the president.
No, it's going to make them less likely to stand up for him, which they do a lot.
I'm going to say that it's going to be more or less overall, I think it's going to make the media stand up for the government more and their actions, and talk less about any negatives about the government, because they'll be absolutely deathly afraid IRS coming after them, anything.
I don't think reporters have shown a history of not being ones that just scare easily.
Yeah.
No, they have. I mean, look at the Pentagon Papers, look at things in the past that have happened. Then the reporters, you say, oh, you guys can't do this, they go out and they just troll you and do it anyway. I mean,
they want to work together, they want to go along to get along, but at a certain point, when you push them up against a wall and you do something like this, or you do what the Bush administration did and the Democrats at Scooter Libby,
okay, well that does
and
make sense.
Started persecuting, they will protect their own kind.
It's a culture thing. There's a culture in the news media that it's like the truth, and that you're the fourth branch of government and all this stuff, supposed to keep it in check. I mean, while it may not necessarily be as prominent as it has in the past, because they do buddy up with the government and just cover their ass all the time, nevertheless, it's still kind of a culture that's within journalistic circles to some extent.
And deep down, all of them want to be Woodward or Bernstein. Joe, let's get your opinion on this particular scandal. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that my opinion of this particular scandal is the same as the other, you know, two scandals, three. How many have we discussed tonight? It is so dang many.
Two thus far.
Just that
three.
Idea that there is an appearance of evil. There is something for the general public to be suspicious about. It just reeks of shadiness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Did you see that? Did anyone see that press conference today?
I haven't watched it yet, but
did
I want
to. Did you see
to.
It, Joe?
No, I didn't.
No,
see it.
Oh my God, you guys,
Joe works for a living.
You guys
what
got.
Are you, talking about?
You guys need to watch that on YouTube, man. I mean, it was just like you want to, and that's a great example of what I was talking about. Yep. You put Jay Carney after this in a room with nothing but reporters. They ate him alive. That was a day that no one on this planet wanted to be Jay Carney.
It was the last time this happened was with Ari Fleischer and the lead up to the war and. You know, some of the days afterwards. I mean, that's sort of what it sounded
Chris,
like.
Chris, you've followed things for a long time, and Joe, you're pretty old. What was the...
thanks.
When was
How
the
old
last...
are you, Maya?
I just turned 26.
You never ask
Come
a lady
on, man.
Her
I'm 2
age.
Years older than you.
You're really? You are? You look like
I'm
40, 20. Man.
You guys are all grandpas.
Joe, but back to my point. Back to my point. Back to my
Would
point.
Would you like to ask how much Maya weighs as well? How rude, Joe.
If you ask me that, I will drive up there and I'll break your fingers. But the question I wanted to ask
such
is...
Such a lady.
Is... What? Who was the last? When was the last time we had a truly, you know, a good? I guess you would say a good, a professional, on spot, press representative. For
I'd
the
say
White House.
I would say Ari Fleischer, and I would say Jay Carney is good. Is he's just really good at saying nothing?
Yeah,
I'd say,
that was what was
no,
hilarious.
No, I mean, I know from our standpoint, from our standards, when was the last time we had a good?
I mean, from a libertarian perspective, no. But I mean, as far as someone who watches the press and is a media critic like myself. An unofficial media critic. I look at Ari Fleischer as the top of the heap of S Mountain. I mean, that guy could spin crap.
Who was that? I don't know
he
who
was
that is.
Bush's first press secretary, and he was a master of just handling the press.
So if with the giant Obama administration, why do you think they have such crappy press secretaries?
Oh, Robert Gibbs was one of the all-time worst. Like, if I had a Robert Gibbs playing card, I would just burn it.
Now, let's be fair. Let's be fair. Jay Carney... Ari Fleischer, the Mac Daddiest of press secretaries, would have gotten eaten alive today.
I know, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to bring up the point of when was the last time there
and
was actually a...
You're leaving for D.C. in less than a week, and you're sticking up for Jay Carney.
I'm just saying.
You are.
He still is a human being, and let's just be fair.
Who wants to take bets on how long it takes before you either get lynched or you come home with your tail between your legs?
Me?
What? That was weird. That was real weird.
I give it 2 weeks.
All right, so let's wrap up. For the last paranoid thing that I'd like to say, did you guys know, and I've known this for a little bit, but I'd like to educate our audience by asking a rhetorical question. Did you know that even if you turn your cell phone off, if there is a battery still in it, so for in this case I have an iPhone here, the iPhone, you can't take the battery out. If you turn it off... They can still, and by they, I mean the federal government or a really skilled hacker with the abilities of the state behind it, somebody like a Chinese or a Russian hacker, can use that as a listening device or a tracking device. So if I'm sitting here and we are doing a secret underground subversive podcast about how to overthrow the United States government, and I'm sure they just heard that, we could turn off our cell phones and the federal government still has the abilities to listen in on our conversation because of our phones.
I can put an app on your phone that's hidden and you'll never know it's there, and I could turn your camera on, I could turn on the microphone.
You should turn on my camera. Let me tell you.
No, that's disgusting because you're always on the toilet with it. I'm not sure what you do with it. No, but
I got to go to the bathroom, but my phone is dead.
That's been true for a minute. And also, the thing is, you said if there's still battery in it, if you take out the battery, they can still track your GPS location because there's an extra tiny battery inside of here that keeps all the, you know, it's one of the, like the battery on your motherboard. It keeps the BIOS and everything kind of there, but that also will ping for GPS tracking, so they can always track you with that. So your best bet is to get rid of your cell phone.
So,
or just put it in, get a lead case, get a lead carrier.
A lead carrier.
Build a Faraday case.
I'm sure.
Take the risk of lead poisoning.
Carrying
to keep
something made of lead in your pocket, right next to your junk, is a real good way to not have kids. I might actually, Maya. Can you look that up for me? Okay, thanks. All right. So let's take a vote, a show vote.
Let's rank the scandals 1 to 3 because we're very shallow like that, and we want to see what was our favorite scandal of the week. And we'll start with Joe. Joe, of the 3 scandals, which is your number 1, 2, and 3?
Do I have to rank them?
Yes.
I just think that are all pretty equal.
No, you got to rank it. That's not how entertainment works.
This is VH1.
1, 2, 3. In the order that we discussed them.
This is VH1, man.
So you're saying Benghazi is the biggest scandal?
IRS. All the way around.
Okay, so
AP biggest, IRS second biggest, and Benghazi third?
Right.
Yes.
Maya?
I'm going to go pretty much with the same thing. The AP definitely being the first, the IRS being the second, just because Benghazi, I think, is a non-issue and not a scandal.
I'm going AP number one because it completely exposes the lengths the government will go to try and thwart the efforts of those who will try and expose the truth taking place in our government. Number two is in Benghazi, and it's because of the potential illegal nature of the CIA running arms into Syria. I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah,
and
but they don't have any evidence of that.
I have evidence because I know it to be true.
It's government common practice. Just look at the crap we've been doing over the last 70 years.
We don't have to have evidence. We know. I mean, there was Charlie Wilson's war. That
kinda,
whole situation.
We kind of need evidence.
We don't need evidence.
All right. Science, Crichton. What's your ranking?
I'd say IRS is number one, but I basically put the AP at a close number two because I think they kind of work together. I think the scandal is not necessarily just one, but it's both. It's that you had, on one instance, you had the press getting attacked by the federal government, making the press less likely to stand up for them and actually showing to the news media that this government is not always your friend. And then you had, on top of that, another scandal coming out saying that the IRS is picking sides for political reasons, you know, and you already have a pissed off news media. So I think when I say, you know, it's the biggest one, I think it's the one that has the most potential for, you know, future, you know, damage, I guess. I don't know. But I'd say Benghazi's number three just because I think it's just so the Hillary looks bad. It might be number one if it ends up making her not win president, win the Democratic
False.
Ticket.
The correct answer, the number one scandal of the week, is that Creighton corrected me to get back on track, and Maya just hosted my show. So,
what?
I usually drive the bus, and then Maya was like, Creighton, which is not how you say it. Creighton, what is your top three? I'm like, hey.
I did that two other times in this show. It's because you have been very susceptible lately to Crichton's ranting. And then yourself getting off track. And, you know, half the times you guys get off track in the show, it's your fault.
So, closing thoughts.
So, if you didn't have a large weapon, I would kick you out of my apartment.
Yeah, good luck trying. How about we tell everybody that we are getting ready to start the We Are Libertarians Fight Club.
Cage fighting match.
I have put up and if you, the fans, want to see this, I have challenged every person here to fisticuffs.
Creighton finally gets to beat the crap out of Chris
Gold. I'm too old.
Yeah, Joe would fight, but he's in the geriatric division.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think all the fans should get on there and say who I should fight. Put up a pot. Donate money or something and say the winner gets this.
Everyone's going to say Chris Gold in the face.
Does this sound like a weird idea? Well, guess who came up with the idea?
James Neese.
James Neese. Gets on. We have a new group where
our very own Tyler Durden.
We have all the various podcasts in a neat group now. So now all the people across the WAL radio network can now converse with each other.
And that's been fun.
And it has been. And it's basically just an excuse for James Neese to run wild. And like if we told you the things that he posted today alone, I mean, it was terrifying. And so, so James, like, bruh, I found my sparring gear. We should, fight. I'm like, I don't want to fight.
80-something odd comments later.
Yeah.
We've talked about Jell-O wrestling. We've talked about having just a girls fight. We talked about
me fighting Gina.
Everyone's talked about wanting to fight Gulp.
I'm a little over 300. Gina's a little under 100. That'd be an awesome fight.
She's not over 80 pounds, dude. You could pick her up with like a pink and eat her. Ow.
Everybody wants to beat the heck out of Chris Gulp, even Chris Gulp.
Nobody wants to fight me.
No, because you're full of rage and anger and bitterness, and you would start punching and never stop.
I said you guys can have sticks and baseball bats. I will be just hands with gloves. You guys don't have to wear gloves.
You're a nightmare. Tell the story of what you did before you came over here.
There was a couple kids running around for a charity, or not a charity, but like a fundraising thing.
They were trying to give back to their community.
No, they were trying to sell magazines to raise money for college, and they didn't look like college kids.
Assholes.
And They
don't came, you sell me stuff.
They
what do you think this is?
Don't you take your disadvantaged position and try to improve it on my dime?
They had hundreds of dollars worth of tattoos on their necks. But they asked me, they came up and made the statement, you know, we're just going around collecting stories and meeting friendly, nonviolent people of our community.
Wrong
I have an ass tucked into the back of my shorts, and I pulled out and I said, you mean nonviolent like this? Mother effers, and like flipped out the extendable baton, and it's the 20-inch one.
Noise.
And
here, goddamn, say it again.
And so I pull out the ass, and it's like an extendable baton, you know, like cops beat people with all the time, and it makes this wicked little sound, and you know, it extends out there quite a bit, and these kids jump back about 3 feet, and then the one screams out, "Please don't hit me!" And then I continue talking to them for a little while.
Social terrorism at its finest.
You are a
jerk.
But you know what happens next is I tell Chris this, and he goes, "Ha ha, so funny!"
And I'm like,
"You got to come over here in case they come over here." So what I do? I brought my gun, I brought my pink Guy Fox mask, and the ass just in wait to see if they came over here because I'd scare them again.
I would like. You hurt them. I just let you open the door, and then they'd see you, and they'd run away. Social terrorism.
That's like world class dick levelness, right there.
It really is. You are such a dick.
It's taken years to get to my talent level with this. It's taken you years to put on the fake "I care about you" persona,
right,
and the whole fake. You know, you can tell me your problems. I'm going to listen and give advice, but I'm not actually listening. I could actually want you to leave and maybe die so I can eat some more pizza.
That's true.
And that's taken you years to get to. On the flip
I'm very skilled at it.
My social terrorism.
You still like pizza?
Maya, how does that make you feel? I love pizza, especially pizza with bacon on it. But thank you for asking about me.
It's just bacon.
Bacon. Oh, my gosh.
Anything with bacon.
You've had it. Jack's Pizza here in Greenwood. You get the Jack's Pizza with the extra cheese, and they pile it on like crazy. You get pepperoni, mushroom, and bacon.
I just know I've had enough pizza in my life.
I put
two
whole packages of bacon in my potato soup the other day.
I just eat bacon. Why doesn't anybody just eat bacon?
All right, well, we've ruined the show.
Okay.
Let's
we talked about food, which just happened on my latest episode of The Incontrollables.
You're such a dirty, dirty little self-promoting.
We spent 12 minutes talking about what we were.
It's like we waited
eating.
Till the end to start doing all the digression and stuff.
I know. That's it's like I almost planned it that way. I knew the wheels were going to fall off the bus, so I figured we should let them fall off when everything important has already been said. So,
you know, go check out my website, creatingmy.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, they showed the mom on How I Met Your Mother.
Really?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to admit this.
Literally the least important thing I've ever heard, Creighton.
I cried. I actually cried because I've been waiting for that bitch's face for so long now. They show it, and I literally cried.
It was
a huge disappointment.
No, it wasn't a disappointment. She was decent looking, but
decent.
She was kind of hot.
She was decent looking.
I would.
It was a disappointment because it's a freaking cliffhanger.
Who is
girlfriends that Ted Mosby has had, and they bring in the decent.
Which one is How I Met Your Mother?
Which one
is that? The one with Barney?
His
face?
Barney, yeah.
Okay,
Legend, it's a good show. It's funny.
Derry.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a good show.
I liked that concept when they did it with Wilson in Home Improvement.
They
didn't show his face.
Totally different show.
No, they have almost never showed. You know what?
That's no, not even no, go ahead and wrap up the show the because thing. You suck and you're ruining everything.
That is not even close to the same thing.
How I Met Your Mother is you're been out of an your emotional roller coaster for me, so you can shut
you're
up.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
Basically, if you want to know what Maya is like, reduce the cup size by like half. And what's that show? Two Broke Girls?
Two Broke Girls.
Who's the girl that you're like?
Oh, God, she's
the
so
brunette.
I don't know her
Kat
name.
Kat Dennings.
Yeah, that's
Kat Dennings.
The chick from Thor.
Yeah, that is basically Maya's personality, that sarcastic pain in the A.
With a lot more yelling.
With a lot more yelling and much,
weapons.
And many more weapons. So, although I bet that character has some weapons. So, all right,
her
let's
boobs.
Let's wrap it up.
That's true.
We have lost.
That's true.
Every
you
female
like,
listener.
Edit the ending of this completely off of the show.
Don't edit it whatsoever.
Joe hates the total diversions into anything that's not politics. He was like, I don't know if I'm laughing because this is I know James Neese or if it's funny.
We could talk about I'm how like, Joe has his nice sexy baldish head. And that's such a turn on for so many women.
By the way, Joe, where are you at? You're like, are you laying down? Look at this.
I'm laying down now. I'm in my bed, man. You guys are taking so long.
Dude, it's 9:18. What are you masturbating?
We're like, I'm looking on the Google Hangout and Joe is just like laying on a couch or a bed or something and he's just laying there.
So sue me.
Are you thinking about me? Because I'm thinking about you.
He's in prison or something.
No. He's scratching on the walls how many hours this podcast has lasted. All right, so let's wrap up our final roundup of the week. What is the important thing that we missed that you want to save for the coming week, et cetera, Ms. Maya Axton?
Oh, God. Adam Kokesh's July 4th armed civil disobedience march on Washington, D.C., do not, however, look up Austin Peterson's squirt gun, Nerf gun march on the 3rd.
I take the opposite stance. I encourage Austin Peterson and his Nerf gun march.
He's a douchebag, and I hope he dies.
I don't. I like Austin Peterson.
I'm out!
The views of Maya Axton do not reflect the views of those people on this podcast.
I'm a terrorist!
I know. All right, flash poll. Good idea, bad idea. See you later, Maya. The armed march on the Capitol on July 4th. Joe Ruiz, good idea or bad idea?
Bad idea.
All right.
Terrible idea.
I think it's a meh idea. Because
terrible idea.
At the end of the day, every single year, there's a march on our state capitol and probably your state capitol, depending on where you live, for gun rights, and everybody marches with open carry. And everybody's like, this is so dangerous. You're going to get somebody shot.
It's not illegal.
Well,
I got you civil disobedience and all that jazz.
Right.
But
at the end of the day, nothing ever happens. Everything goes fine.
But Kokesh is insane.
As
and he
long
will
as
shoot somebody.
Adam Kokesh's people are well behaved.
They won't be.
Then we're all good.
Every single time Adam Kokesh's people are well behaved. What's his point that out? That all the things he's done that's illegal and civil disobedience has been epically peaceful.
What, like dancing on at TJ? What else?
He
is
got
I don't think it's
going to
go well.
Beat.
Yeah, I know.
Death.
But what
and
else?
You know what
else
they
has
do?
He done?
Then you obviously don't, you have opinions on Adam Kokesh. You don't know what
that
he's
I
done.
Base upon his show and his persona on the internet.
There are so many things he's done. He goes all over the place. But
bro
well,
is
you
ripped.
Know, you know, he does a lot. I talked about him on my show because he's awesome and he's out there actually doing stuff rather than talking on a show about how much he loves Rand Paul.
The uncontrolled.
Yeah, he talks about how
Wait,
much he
so,
hates.
So in the heat,
he just talks about how much he hates Rand
debate
Paul.
In this nation, we can march on Washington D.C. armed, but people can't even start a nonprofit without public scrutiny.
I know
these are screwed up.
Good point. All right, Maya,
screwed up.
Get out of my house.
All right. All right. I think that it's perfectly whatever. I don't think it's as big of a deal as everybody makes it out to be. Tells me to F myself, and I'm in favor of her position. That Maya, what a handful.
What, you like Adam Kokesh?
No. Just to be frank, and if you're an Adam Kokesh fan or if Adam's listening to this, listen, more power to you. Everybody's efforts in the Liberty Movement are appreciated, but you're not my cup of tea.
Yeah, he's just a troll.
Frankly.
He's just a troll.
I don't want to say anything bad, but hey, do your thing. I'm just not going to show up on
my final word.
Day. Yes.
You know, my final word. No, Rand Paul did not betray what you believe in. Get over yourself. We can talk about that next week.
I disagree. I don't think there's anything wrong with holding a politician feet to the fire.
It'd be one thing if he actually said something different than he's ever said, which he didn't. He didn't do that. And his policy, and just for teaser, his policy is still the exact same as his father's.
Joe,
identical.
Did you get a final word? I don't even remember at this point.
No, my final word is to the government. I want to reference randomly the Gerard Depardieu and Katherine Heigl movie My Father, the Hero, where a young girl tells multiple lies, and the more lies she tells, the more lies get exposed. And to those government officials who are worried about things being leaked, quit putting stuff out there that's shady, and things won't get leaked.
Yep. My final word is a...
Did you just reference, like, an underground movie or something? I've never...
No. It was like Katherine Heigl's first movie. She was like 13.
Is that the one where she...
I mean,
like,
you just made his point for him.
Is that the one where she said she told people she banged her dad?
Ew.
Yeah. She was trying to hit on a guy, and so she said that her father, who had taken her on some vacation to Jamaica, was like actually her French lover.
It's really
like
just
abusive,
got that,
and all this other
that
stuff.
Just that is
Joe. You're telling me I need to edit out parts of the podcast.
This is why nobody knows about this movie.
Because incest does not sell movies well. Who would have thought?
It doesn't.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it was a good reference. Don't tell lies.
There are so many things you could have referenced for how bad lying is.
No, I have been waiting for like 20 minutes to reference that movie.
Dude, have you ever seen this? It's a Katherine Heigl flick. She was 13. You probably never heard of it.
Joe does have hipster glasses.
George W. Smith.
I would like to give a big shout out and congratulations to our dear friend and contributor to We Are Libertarians, Lynn Patrick Swayze, on the birth of her child. Everything went really well, and we're looking forward to having Lynn back on.
No one will put that baby in the corner.
And no one will put that baby in the corner.
Waka waka.
And we look forward to having Lynn back on the podcast soon, and we're so glad to have good news on that front. And I also want to give condolences out to our friends Hardy Macia and his family. Hardy was a board member of the Advocates for Self-Government. He was, I think, on the board of the LNCC, the Libertarian National Campaign Committee. Really ran for Congress this in 12, ran a fund campaign. A huge, huge supporter of liberty and the libertarian movement. And he passed away yesterday from cancer. And very sad, and we wanted to give our condolences to him and just, you know, mention him and put his memory out there and just say thanks to Hardy, wherever you are. Thanks for all of your contributions to liberty. So thank you for listening to this episode of We're Libertarians. And as always, next week, although it may not happen, we promise to do better. Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell. This podcast is produced by What Is a Hoosier Productions.